speaking of the spiritual world, you were born into the Methodist Church.
Right.
Let's talk about that. As a youngster then in church, was that the seminal language that was used?
It was. My whole life was surrounded by the language. There was the church, the praying, the singing, conversations. That's why I couldn't help but learn. I mean, you're just around it all the time. That was my life growing up. Talk about growing up Indian. To me, that's what it means, not drawing water from the well or stuff. Everybody did that. I mean, that was a way of life in Oklahoma. But there were these uniqueness about us as Native people with our language and with our belief systems that set us apart and still set us apart, because in spite of the fact that John is getting ready to go to UCLA when he's Columbia, he started and got the Indian Club going real strong. He got the powwow going on. So he still is proud of who he is. And for what he understands about it, he's able to put it into new venues now that people who've never seen that before.
So you're saying he graduated from Columbia in
right.
New York and now is going to go to law school
right.
at UCLA.
Right.
The church became a big part of your life.
It was. In fact, it probably was a part that anchored my life in a different way, just the spiritualism, the belief in a life after death, and the belief in a creator. But having said that, then I've studied a lot of different religious readings and so forth, both of the Christian and other major religions of the world, because I have an interest in trying to understand the human behavior of major religious groups. I mean, it's astonishing to me what they believe in terms of love, and they go out and kill people all the time. That upsets me to no end. And I thought, well, how do you do that? I mean, you talk about Christians who did that.
Yeah.
Talk about Muslims who do that. You talk about almost any group of people who do that. That really does confuse me. But my father, when I was probably 18, I'd finished high school. We were walking out in the woods, as we usually do, and he picked a piece of stick and he said, Kelly, everything you believe about God and about life is what I believe. He said, from this day forward, it's not yours. He broke the stick like that. He said, you must make it your own from here on. So my concept and my belief in religious and spiritual understanding is far, far different than the one he had.
Because of the studying you did of all religions.
Right. And different experiences. His was right for him, and it was right for me at the time, but that gave me the freedom to go and be who I am and be comfortable with my beliefs. The same thing I say to John when he went off to school. He was always with me in different churches and Native churches would sit in. But I told him that once you go to college, you'll be challenged with all kinds of information, and your life will be challenged, your beliefs will be challenged. I said, that's okay. But from here on, you have to make all of your life your own understanding and experience.
You're kind of releasing him, as your father did to
right,
you, that
right.
you can form your own thoughts.
It right.
doesn't have to be me.
Right, that's true. Yeah. But it's hard not to do that when he's still around, in case from time to time, trying to be the father, so I try not to say much to him in that way.
Yeah. Church helped you in your education.
They did. They gave me a scholarship, basic scholarship, wasn't much, but they gave me enough to get started. But when I was at OCU, somewhere along the line, I decided, I don't think I want to be a minister. I didn't have anything against it, so I gave them back the scholarship. Now, I had two kids, and I didn't have money. I'm not a person of wealth, still not, but I could work. I was born on a farm. I'm a hard worker, still am today. I worked at JCPenney Company, worked 55, 60 hours a week. I paid my own education at OCU, of all places, even at that time, it was $75 an hour. That was 50 years ago. And there was a lot of money. And it was difficult and hard, but I got through. I did do this one thing. I wrote to the Bureau of Indian Affairs asking for a scholarship. They sent me a letter saying they'd approved it, and I looked at it a while, and I wrote him back a nice letter saying, well, thank you for offering scholarship, but why don't you give it to somebody who really needs it?
Hmm.
In retrospect, it wasn't anybody needed more than I did, but that was just the way I think.
Why would you do that?
Well, because I was taught not to take anything from anybody that was free like that. We never took welfare or anything. We just didn't believe that way.
Yeah.
You just go out there and you work for it. You work for what you get. Nobody owes you anything. That's the way my parents taught me to be. That's how I am today, and I pass it on to my children. They don't ever ask anything from me. Usually they take care of themselves. I've got six kids now. I had a seventh when he died when he was 18. But he had a son that was born a month after his death, and he's 28 now, and he's a banker. You know, we keep pushing the bar up and keep him moving forward.
Yeah.
Let me go back just a little bit. One of the things about the Methodist Church that helped me, I thought about that one day when I was sitting in the legislature, and I chaired the Appropriations Committee. which is the most powerful committee in government. So I'm sitting there thinking, how did I learn to do this? Well, it just dawned on me, I learned to do this in church. Because we had all these youth programs in Indian Missionary Conference. I just assumed leadership when I was 15, a lot of groups, and they would call me to different churches to organize our youth groups and so forth. So I was at a very early age going around helping organize. And one of the things we taught was Robert's Rules of Order, among other things. I taught them how to conduct meetings. So when I came a legislator, I mean, that was just there. I didn't go to formal school for that. It was just there. Picked it up. So the church helped me get there. And it's helped me connect across the world. I mean, I was on the board of directors, board of trustees for OCE for 10 years. So I was actively involved in Methodist Church in that way. I believe in the good things they do. And I've gone to other countries on their behalf, to students and so forth.
On behalf of the Methodist Church?
OCU particularly.
Oklahoma City University.
Right.
What high school did you graduate?
Prairie Valley High School. Went to school in Shawnee for quite a while. Whenever we left the farm, we didn't have anywhere near the luxury we had when I was growing up in Seminole. In fact, at one point in our life, we lived in one room, and there were six or seven of us. We just slept on the floor.
What age would you have been then?
Oh, probably seven, eight, something like that. But, you know, I never felt bad about that. I always knew that my folks were doing the best they could and that they loved us. And that was it. That's all I needed. I always looked around and I thought, other Indian kids, they were living similar situations, so it wasn't unusual for us to live that way.
Well, why did they move?
Well, just didn't have any money.
From Seminole?
Yeah. Once we got there, all the financial resources had disappeared. So they worked, both my parents worked, but they weren't making much. They just did the best they could.